That's some good stuff, huh? Amen. You know, it's really neat how it's just being able to do that as a community of faith, and as Dom had already mentioned, just, you know, God's leading, and we're going to look at that today, and just thinking about, just for the Obots, just thinking, several months ago, they shared, there was a video, if you remember, there was a video of three girls sharing, we're going to be adopting, and how time just goes by like that. I was just thinking back to, like, this time, 2 weeks ago, we were heading off to Vermont, you know, and just time just goes so fast, and we can embrace those moments and what God is doing. And I thought about just even our series here in Galatians. I mean, we've been in it for several months now, and we're going to be finishing out here in August our Christ Alone series, where we've been talking about this idea of salvation comes from faith alone, by grace alone, through Christ alone. And last Sunday, we talked about that what Christ did on the cross brought about freedom. It brought about, by faith, that we are, when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we are no longer separated from God. We are made right with God, and we don't want to ever take for granted the freedom that is found in Christ. And we were challenged, too. We were challenged with the fact of, we can be a church that is loving, caring, and encouraging, or we can be a church that destroys each other. And my hope and prayer is that we want to be that church that is loving and caring and encouraging to one another, so that the world can see that we are those who follow Jesus. So this morning, I don't know if you've heard of the term walkabout, but there are a couple of definitions of a walkabout. Now, the Australian definition of a walkabout is when, these are Australian Aboriginals, and it's usually when it's a rite of passage for an Aboriginal adolescent, and they take a journey on foot. It's almost like a spiritual journey to go find themselves, and they go out into the Australian wilderness, and they say sometimes it's up to 6 months that they go. So that's an Australian walkabout, and it's more of a tradition because these young men are following in the tradition of their fathers. And then I found the British definition of a walkabout. Now, what a British definition of a walkabout is, it's a leisurely stroll that is conducted by someone of importance. And so you can see here, this boy is taking a selfie, and if you notice, Princess Kate is in the background. So when we talk about these ideas of walkabout, I want to focus a little bit on the British walkabout. And so today our message is called Walk On. And what we want to do is we want to talk about the idea, not the idea, but the truth of God's Spirit leading in our lives. And we just saw a family who has said yes to God. And so that's what we want to do. What does that look like for our lives? And so if you're following along your outline this morning, what we want to say is this, is that Jesus left us his Spirit so that life wouldn't be lived alone. Jesus left us his Spirit so life wouldn't be lived alone. 1 John 4, beginning in 13, says, "This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world." If you look in the Gospels, you'll see that at the night before Jesus was crucified, he said to his disciples, "I have to go. I'm going back to be with my Heavenly Father, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave a counselor, a guide. I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit." And it was at the time of Pentecost where the Holy Spirit came down. And so we see that, you know, this idea of God's Spirit leading us, for some of us it may be kind of a weird kind of idea. But we have to understand that this is a supernatural work of God, and by faith we can believe that he is the one that guides us, who leads us, and it's his Spirit who shows us. It's God's promise to us that he will return for us, but it's also that seal, as we've said here before, that we are his. And many times for us, we ask the question, God, how do I know that you're leading me? What is it? How's that all going to play out? And a lot of times, I don't know about you, but I know in my own life, sometimes I get, even in my spiritual life, in my relationship with the Lord, I get tech neck. Have you ever heard of tech neck? Okay, I'm going to tell you what it is. That's tech neck. And even Tina's boss, who was a chiropractor, he said, this is a big thing, you know, and people are beginning to get adjusted in this upper area because here's what we do. And we do that with God, right? We say, God, you know, I want to spend time with you, so I'm going to get on my Bible app. Ooh, Snapchat. Oh, wait, what's the weather today? What's somebody doing? What's that video that they posted? And we don't look up and we don't look around to say, God, what are you doing? God, what is it that you're inviting me to be a part of the world that you have purposed me for, to live for your kingdom? And so that's what Paul wants to do here with us today as he continues to talk about living in the Spirit. But he specifically says walking by the Spirit, because again, as we know, throughout our whole series, there were a group of individuals called Judaizers. And they were saying there are specific things that you need to do in order to attain salvation. And yet Paul was once again advocating that submit to God's leading, submit to his Spirit's leading, submit to the things of God, surrender your life to him. And so today we're going to look at Galatians chapter 5 together. We're going to look at verses 16 through 26. So if you have your Bible or device, it will be on the screen. Don't get tech neck. It's only going to be just for a few moments if you have that device. But we want to look at verses 16 through 26 this morning. Galatians 5, verses 16 through 26. Beginning in verse 16. It says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. I just read that. I apologize. We're going to move on to 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And he goes on in verse 26, as he did last Sunday, as we learned, he said, let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. So Paul, here in this letter, once again, is advocating submission to the Spirit of God. And this idea of walking in Scripture is a metaphor for growth, spiritual growth. Because in that day and time, if you were to take a walk, sometimes it would take a half a day, a day, 2 days, however long that journey was. Now for us, we can get in our cars, drive 10 miles, and it'll take maybe 15, 20 minutes, depending on how heavy your foot is, but you'll get there that day or within that hour. But what we see here in this idea of walking, again, it's this spiritual progress that's happening, God's Spirit working in us, and we're going to get to that in just a minute. But here's the thing about walking on these journeys that these individuals go on in that day and time. Though the walk, though the journey was slow and long, they eventually got to their destination. So they got there. And you can read even about Jesus' times where he traveled. It would say it took him a day or a half day or whatever that is. So just to give you an idea of that. But in verses 16 through 21, what Paul begins to talk about is the Spirit and the flesh. He's talking here about the Spirit and the flesh. And what we see here in these verses is that opposites don't attract. Opposites don't attract. We're familiar with the saying that opposites do attract, right? Yeah, we have. And I look at my almost 20 years of marriage, I'm going, opposites definitely attract. I'm a very fortunate man. But again, as the Judaizers at the Church of Galatia were advocating submission to the law as a means to overcome the flesh, Paul, once again, as if you're getting where we're going today, is submission to God's Spirit, his leading in our lives. Because here's the conflict. I know that I want to do what God wants me to do, but yet I want to do what I want to do, all at the same time. And even Paul talked about in Romans chapter 7, he's like, I am into everything that I hate. Because what I want to do, God doesn't want me to do. What God wants me to do, I don't want to do, and so on. It continues to go on and go on. But if we're going to walk by the Spirit, this is a moment-by-moment, day-by-day activity in our lives. And it's saying, God, I'm going to trust you to take the lead in my life. Because we will always be at odds with what we want and what God wants. But yet Paul is saying here that really we can't be neutral. We're either going to live one way or we're going to live God's way. We're going to live our way or God's way. And what the thing that we can understand here is found in Romans 8:6. It says this. It says that the mind governed by the flesh is death. In other words, the flesh says, I'm king of my castle. I can do my own deal. I don't need God to lead me. And it says, by flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Now you may say, well, sometimes when I follow God, it's not easy and it's not fulfilling and it's not peaceful in my life. But yet God has us there. He's writing the story of our lives. And yet he invites us to be a part of what he's doing, whatever that may look like or whatever he's asked you to do and what he's asked me to do. And that's what we choose to say. It's going to be your way, God, or it's going to be my way. And so it was really neat how we were able to bring the Obot family up, and they're following God's leading in adopting once again a boy from China. Well, previous, before the message, I had asked John Heilman if he would come and just share a few things about their life as a family with fostering and adoption. But there's some other questions that I have for him in this idea of God leading in our lives. So thanks for coming up, John. I'm going to move a couple of things here. Awesome. So for those of you who may not know, John and his wife, Jacqueline, have been able to foster and adopt some kids. So John, just briefly, can you share how that all played out that led you to the place that you're at today?
Sure, yeah.
So we were encouraged, not just by Paul, but even just hearing what John had shared with us, to walk by the Spirit. Did you hear the one word that really kept hitting me was surrender? I was like, man, that's some tough stuff. I don't know about you, but I know it is for me because I like to be in charge a lot of times. But what I want to do is I want to touch on what Paul was saying here, and then I want to bring it to what it means for us today with a Spirit-filled life. And so in verses 19 to 29, what Paul did was he talked about the acts of the flesh. And what I'm going to do is not share with you every break down every single one, but what I want to say is this, is that Paul says the acts of the flesh, they're obvious. It's not like Paul was thinking, man, what are these people going to get into? But in the culture around him, these things were going on. And what we see here is there was a bunch of sexual sin going on, religious sin going on, i.e. idolatry. There were societal sins going on and self-indulgent sins going on. And because sin is not only affects us, but it can, and it a lot of times it does affect those around us. And you may be thinking, well, listen, I don't get drunk. Or I don't get involved with some of these other things, but maybe you have times where there is fits of rage, or there is selfish ambition, or you're one that always wants to cause and stir up trouble at times. I don't know. I mean, you know that. But what we see here is that do we want to surrender these things to the person of Jesus? I know I can get jealous at times, and I thought back about when we bought our first home, and when we walked in, we were excited, And I looked at it, and I'm thinking, wow, it's like the 60s just threw up in here, you know? And we had, like, these frosted mirrors in the living room, and I would be so embarrassed when people would come over. Now, eventually, we redid the whole house. And see, at that time in Georgia, the economy was booming. But then when the economy turned, there was all these beautiful homes that people were living in that I'm going, why can't I have that beautiful house? Or why can't I have that bigger car? Or why can't I have that better job? And as the economy turned, what happened was there was a lot of people who were in those beautiful homes, but they were house poor. And what God was wanting me to do, he's like, quit worrying about everybody else. Aren't you glad at what I have given you? And so that was for me. I would struggle with that. I struggle with it every once in a while. I struggle with losing my temper, being patient, talk to my family. But here's what we want to understand. Peter said it in 1 Peter 2:11. He says, dear friends, you are foreigners and strangers on this earth. So I beg you not to surrender those desires that fight against you. See, we need to remember that our natural desires will not disappear. What we understand it, when Jesus claimed victory over sin and death, that took away the control of sin in our lives. And because we live in a broken world still, it's around us. But we have to choose and surrender each day to His leading and to His authority. Because when we choose to say, I'm going to walk on with You, God, our destination is eternity with Him. That's what we look forward to. When we live with Him forever. And then Paul goes on to share about the other contrast. He talks in verses 22 and 23 about the fruit of the Spirit. If you want to know who God is, take a look. This is the character of God right here. God is love. God is joy. He is peace. He's patient. He's kind. He's good. He's faithful. And if you want to know the antidote to your natural desire at times, look at this again. That's what Paul is telling us here. Because he's saying, listen, these qualities of God for you and I are qualities that we can develop in our lives that are traits of the mind, traits of how we interact with one another, traits of how we handle ourselves. As I said, you know, sometimes I have a short fuse, and it's kind of funny. Last night we had an incident just driving on the road where an individual, like, almost, here's how it happened. I'm driving next to a car, and as the car comes over, he tries to drive in between us. I was like, oh no, we are not going there. And I hit the gas, and Tina's like, just calm down. And I did, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to teach on being patient tomorrow. Okay, we can do this. And so I said, well, maybe he has an emergency. And then she's like, well, I don't see his lights flash. And I'm like, it's on. But I had to stop, because if I'm going to teach it, I got to start living it too, right? But that's what it showed me. Like, I can be impatient, and I can have times where I want my impulses to win out rather than to allow God's Spirit to move in my life. But we're reminded in John 15 of what you and I can do when it comes to living a life led by the Spirit. Jesus says this, remain in me. Jesus says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And then he says, I am the vine. Jeff, you're not the vine. You are the branch. So Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. He says, if you want to live a Spirit-lived life, you have to hold on to me, not the other way around. You got to abide in me. You got to keep me in mind. Keep me in your focus. Surrender to my authority in your life. But we have to learn to trust. And that's where faith comes in. And that's where it gets weird sometimes. It's like, so you're telling me, God, this is what you're asking me to do. And we know in our heart of hearts that he's saying yes. And we have to count the cost of what comes with that. But if we say, God, I know what you have done for me. You counted the cost. You said humanity was worth it. And so I'm going to follow you. I'm going to allow you to take the lead. And what happens is when we choose to hold on and walk on with him, our relationship deepens with him. Our relationship deepens. Paul finishes out chapter 5 here in verses 24 to 26 where he says, those who belong to Jesus. So he's speaking to those who are followers of Christ in this letter and to us today. He's saying, those who belong to Jesus. And here's what we want to remember is that the cross is available. The cross is available. Romans 6:6 says, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, so that we should no longer be slaves to sin. The cross is available. You see, it's just like our computer history. Are you familiar with how to delete it? Maybe some of you. Well, I'll tell you how it works. So if you go into your options, and then you go to find history, when you click it, it said you can delete a day, 7 days, a month, or everything. And so I'll click on everything just to delete the history, and then I have to start to begin to type in the email, the web addresses again. And so when I thought about this, where God, through Jesus, took away sin and death on our behalf, he said it's erased. Now, you may be thinking, well, wait a minute, isn't it still out there? It's still out there in cyberspace somewhere, isn't it? Well, yeah, but what God did is he said, when I deleted sin and death through my son, I've forgotten it. You are forgiven. Sure, is it going to be around you? Are you going to be tempted to do those things and give in to what you want? Absolutely. But if you allow me to lead your life, I've said forgiven. You have been forgiven, and you can walk on in the confidence, in the strength that God gives us. You see, what we have to do is each day is we have to say, God, if it's up to me, then I'm going to choose me every time. But I want to humbly submit to your leading. And if there's areas in my life that I need your help to overcome, that I keep going to, that it's like a magnet to me, then God, help me overcome. God, if there's areas in my life where I need to develop more patience, more love, more kindness, more faithfulness, or self-control, God, would you please show me how to do that? And there may be times where there may be avenues that he puts you in or situations he puts you in to develop that character, to build you to become more like his son, Jesus Christ. And it may not make sense. We may not like it, but yet it's what he has us in because he wants us to trust him more. He wants us to walk on with him. Are you with me? All right. So maybe for you and I, instead of selfish ambition, we choose faithfulness. Maybe instead of conflict, we choose peace. Or maybe it's instead of fits of rage, we choose self-control. That may not be it for you, but when you look at those things, the conflict of the flesh and the spirit, take time this week and say, God, what is it that you want of me? Because here's the thing, as a follower of Jesus, we have been given new life in Christ. And maybe it's time for you and I to begin to start living like that we've been given new life. Because that's why Jesus left us his spirit, so that you and I could walk on. So, for you and I, let's just take a few moments and talk about the spirit-filled life. The spirit-filled life. I want to give us two statements that we really need to think about and come to grips with when it comes to spirit-filled living. The first is this, is that it depends on who I'm going with. It depends on who I'm going with. If you remember Everest, our VBS that we had several weeks ago, they talked about a guide, and that guide was a Sherpa. And so a Sherpa guides individuals to climb up Mount Everest. And so if we said we're going to go on a trip, and we're going to climb Mount Everest, and we're going to watch all the YouTube videos and find all the Google articles we can, and we're going to do it, don't you think it would be better to have a Sherpa who knows the mountains? Yes, Jeff, it is. Okay, good. And so this is what we're saying. It all depends on who we're going with. 2 John 1:4 says, "It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded." You see, rather than the Google and the YouTube, we say we're going to follow your leading, God. I need you to make this possible. I am incapable of doing this on my own. So really the question we have to ask ourselves is this: in your life, is Jesus leading, or are you telling him to keep up? Think about that for a moment. Are you choosing God to lead? Are you saying, I'm going to lead? So really it all depends on who you're going with. So if we choose to follow Jesus on our terms, I just have to say good luck. But if we choose to walk on with his leading, what we have to do is we have to submit and take his hand and allow him to lead. So first, it all depends on who we're going with. The second is, it depends on where we're sitting. It depends on where we're sitting. I don't know about you all, but I remember as a kid, we would play King of the Mountain. Anybody ever play that? Okay, several of you. And so you'd get on a pile of whatever and would stand there, and so everybody would try to run up, and you're pushing them down because you would stay up top. You wanted to remain king of the mountain. If somebody knocked you off, they were king of the mountain. And kids would cry and, you know, bloody elbows. But the point is that the king of the mountain was to stay on top of the mountain. But listen to what Psalm 48, 7 and 8 says. God is king of all the earth. So sing a song of praise to him. God is king over the nations, and God sits on his holy throne. And see, in our lives, we really have to ask ourselves, who sits on the throne of my heart? Is Jesus on the throne of my heart? Or am I telling him to take a back seat? That's what we have to ask ourselves. And when he comes to us and he says, I want to lead you, are we pushing him away? Are we saying, I got this? Remember, you take care of the big stuff and I'll take care of the little stuff. I got this. But what we see here in Scripture is that God is King of all the earth. It goes back to having a respect and an awe of who He is and what He's done for us. You see, if you choose to be a servant of Christ and to live out His purposes in this world and to say, what are you inviting me to next, God? You'd be surprised at the adventure He will put you on. Now, it may not be a big thing like flying to China. It may just be in the everyday. God, what are you asking of me today? I want to follow your leading today. Because we'll miss out if we say, I got this. But if we choose to walk on with His leading, we can know that we're never alone. We are never alone. He promised us that. He asked us as His followers to live in that promise. I'll never forget you. I will never abandon you. I am here for you. And so with that, really what we want to do is we want to walk on with God's leading. And I want to encourage us to read Galatians 5 this week, because we really didn't get into the depths. But what we can say is that when Paul continues to argue against the Judaizers, he's saying, listen, the law isn't what's going to save you. Faith in Christ is. And when you have God's Spirit living in you and you allow Him to lead, you're going to want to do God's things, God's ways, even at the same time when you're wanting to fight that. But if you say, Jesus, I want you to be greater in my life, I want it to be you. It's humbly submitting each and every day and building those character traits into our lives. So really the question is, what type of walkabout do you want to go on? Do you want to be one that says, I'm going to go on my own and I'll go find myself and I'll figure it out and this is just a rite of passage and it's just tradition? Or do you want to say, you know what, Jesus sent an important visitor and I want to go with them and I want to follow their lead, because I know that His Spirit knows much more than I do, because I don't have it all together. But just like John 3:30 said, is that He must become greater, I must become less. He left us His Spirit so that we didn't have to live life alone. It's all been made possible through the person of Jesus Christ. The cross is still available. It is good news today, like it was good news when He said it is finished and He is risen. And so where do you want to walk today? Do you want to be one who walks on your own, or to allow His Spirit to lead you? God, we know our human condition will always be bent on what we want. It will always be bent on what we want to do. Yet, Lord, we know that in our lives, our desire is to follow You. Our desire is to lift up the name of Jesus. It is to build Your kingdom on earth through Your church. And yet, Lord, every moment of every day, we are drawn to do our own thing. Or maybe we're so engrossed in ourselves that we look down so much that we never look up to look at Your world around us and to say yes to the invitations You give us. No matter what that looks like, whether it's in our home life, in our work life, even as school begins to start again, in our relationships, in the things that You've invited us to. So, Lord, we need You. We know that You did not create us to be robots. We know that, Lord, You invite us. Lord, You don't force us to do what You've invited us to do. But, Lord, what a blessing, what a beautiful thing it is when we do say yes. Jesus, help us to understand how to combat the desires of the flesh. Show us where we need to grow in Your fruit of the Spirit. So, Father, this is Yours. We give it to You. We've heard Your words to us today. You are welcomed in our lives, Lord. May we recognize Your presence more and more each day. For Your name and for Your renown. In Jesus' name, amen.